Lord Jesus, we are grateful and thankful unto thee that we have this grace once again to come before thee, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done in the midst of your people since we entered this place this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Sunday school. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the morning, the main service in the morning, Lord. Thank you for all that you accomplished in the midst of your people. We are very, very grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, oh God, for great deliverance that you have wrought in the life of your children, Lord. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for healings. Thank you for deliverances. Thank you for infilling of the Holy Ghost already and the infilling of the same. We are very, very grateful. Lord Jesus, if not that we are for daily that we to have evening service, Lord. Lord, if that was all that we had to do today, Lord, we have not come in vain to your house, oh God. We are very, very grateful. Thank you for your servants. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the inspiration. We say, blessed be thy name, Lord. Lord Jesus, we pray you take up the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Loving Savior, we have come again, Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord, we are taught that you, Master, visit your people in the evening time, O living God. Lord, may this not be an exception, Father. Visit us once again in this second service, Lord. May you, Master, anoint your servant, inspire your servant, and speak through your servant, O God. May you hear to us also, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus. Let your word mix up with faith in our hearts, O living God, so that it will do our souls good, Father. Be with us, Heavenly Father. Have your way, Master. Accomplish your purpose, Lord. Lord, what you did for us on the cross of Calvary, Lord, may we never lose sight, O living God. May that purpose never be defeated in our lives, O living God. May you help us, Lord Jesus. Take control, Lord Jesus. At the end of this service, Master, help us to have every cause to glorify thy great holy name, Master. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Please, can we be seated a little while we sing this song before we take the scripture to read from the scriptures? In 485 at Calvary.
Yes, I stand in vanity. I'm crying, yet he thought my Lord was crucified. No, he thought it was for me, he died on Calvary.
was asking the children this morning. I said, a religion, this religion without the blood is religiosity. And I said, what actually, where is the blood? Where was the blood that we are referring to? One of them raised out and said, that was the blood of Jesus Christ. I said, very good, that is it. It is that blood. I said, everyone, one day you must have a day you will go to Calvary. Everyone that is a Christian today had a day at Calvary. If you have not been to Calvary, you are not yet a Christian. There's no doubt about that. You've got to go to Calvary one day. And when you go to Calvary, that Calvary, what that Calvary meant, must change your life, must do something in your life. Praise be the Lord. We've had different experiences. My brother told us of his own experience when he got saved. He said he saw the white cross. And he said there was a body that seems that lifted away from his body. Praise be the Lord. So every Christian must have a day at Calvary. It is compulsory. Praise the Lord. You must go to Calvary. If you have not been to Calvary, you are only doing religiosity. You've got to have a day at Calvary. May God help us. Let's take our Bible. We are talking about Calvary once again this evening. Trusting God to help us. What you had in the morning is the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect gospel of Jesus Christ. So the same way this morning, along the same line, is what we are traveling this evening. God help us. So we want to look at two sermons. We'll be considering two sermons. We'll be looking at the quality of sin and the penalty that it costs to receive from our lives. And that day on Calvary. So let's take our Bible as we read from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. That is the scripture that Brother Bram read to preach the quality of sin and the penalty that it costs to receive from our lives. Let's read verses because of our time, verses 1 to 10. Let's see. I guess I don't think for today. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our face from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our grief, and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. The Bible says here, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased God, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. You can please be seated. Like I said, we'll start looking at this sermon from the gravity of sin and the penalty that it caused to re sin from our lives. Rabran preached that in 1953-04-03. I want to read paragraph 38 before we start. Or as we start, rather. Paragraph 38. I want to talk just a few moments. We are always happy when it comes to having the joy of the Lord in our midst. And how I rejoice with you greatly. But did you ever stop to think what it costs to have it? Did you ever realize just the price that's behind it? What judgment was, and what the penalty, what the penalty of sin, how cruel must sin be when it caused the Son of God to go to Calvary, and God will strike him and turn his face from him and smite him, and he will be afflicted. Look who he was. Praise the Lord. The joy that we have today cost the Son of God something. Praise the Lord. The joy that we have today made the Son of God to go to Calvary for your sake and for my sake. When you look at what happened in Calvary, just as the scripture we read, he was bruised. He was afflicted. A man acquainted with sorrow and grief. For your sake and for my sake. It caused him to receive 39 stripes at his back. Romans whip with a blade was used to wipe him with tear his skin, and blood came out of that skin because of you, because of me. He had to go to Calvary and was nailed to the cross at Calvary and die a death that no other person could die on earth. That's what Abraham said. He died a grievous death that his blood had to separate from the water. I mean, the water in his blood had to separate in the grief that he died. It cost God that for your sake to have this joy, for my sake to have this joy that we have today. I was just thinking, if it caused the creator of heavens and the earth to come in human flesh to do that for you and I, what is it that we will be told from him? What is it that you and I can withhold from him? Who came to do that for us? What is too big that we cannot release for the sake of the Lord? What do we count so dear to us that we cannot forsake for the sake of the Lord? May God help us. Let's think about that while we look at this sermon. Brabran started this sermon by saying that he wants to take us to a trip millions of years before the world was created. And he said, we will have to skip some of these things. He said, before the world was created, there was no light, there was darkness. God bless you. Everywhere was full of darkness. He said, but the only thing we could see, the first thing that we could saw was what? A white light is there. He said that white light was what we call the Logos. That was the light that came. Yeah, white light. So that was the Son of God. That was the thing, the first thing we saw at the beginning. It was this Logos, this Son of God, that created all things. Did you agree? Is that the Bible? Some are not sure. That's the Bible. It was this Logos, the Son of God, that created all things. The Bible says, John 1:1. The only problem is this time. May God help us. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. It says, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The second verse. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were what? Made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was, continue. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Yeah, continue. That man was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Yeah, continue. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world did what? Knew him not. He was in the world. And the word was what? Made by him. And the word did what? Knew him not. Let's continue. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As Baba was referring to him this morning. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Continue. And the word was made what? Flesh. And that word dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This word was made what? Flesh. Praise the Lord. So he created, it was this Logos, the Son of God, that created all things. And with that, he was not anything made that was made. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So he was the one that made all things. Brother Brown said, maybe, and the first word that God said was that let there be light. Brother Brown said, when God said, let there be light, he went to rest. That will have taken millions of years. One thing I find out with God is this, brethren. Our Lord is never in a hurry. Praise the Lord. He's never in a hurry. Look at the program of the redemption. The first time God mentioned the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which we will get to. Brother said, and how long was that before we see that manifested on earth? How long? That took nothing less than 4,000 years. 4,000 years. Brahman also mentioned it here that God is never in a hurry. Let me, he's never in a hurry to achieve what he wants to achieve. Isaiah that made the promise. He said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of Mighty God, the Father, the Prince of Peace, and the rest of them. How many years was it before that was manifested? 800 years, or thereabouts. So our God is never in a hurry. It took God 4,000 years before the promise of the Lord coming to die, the Lamb coming to die on earth, 4,000 years. We are the one that are in a hurry. We are the one that want to achieve things. But not God. It takes his time. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me show you where he said God is never, he was not in a hurry. Okay, I think that should be paragraph 42 to 48. If I can quickly get it, that said, all right. Can you get it? Because he said it is never in authority. Did you get it? Explosion, yes, accumulate. All right, God bless you. He had no hurry. Praise the Lord. So, he said an atom broke, maybe an explosion and things until there was, until, let's jump a little, a lot of things. Until he created the plant life, he created the animals, after creating all these things. And he said, let us make man in our own image. Brabham said, and he made the man not in the flesh. He made the man in the spirit form. But the Bible said there was no man to till the ground. And Brabham said, when he made the man in the spirit form, it was in the image of God. Praise the Lord. Now, when there was no man to till the ground, he has to take the dust of the earth to form man from the dust of the heart. That was not in the image of God, but in the form of an animal. That's our body. Praise the Lord. Then, Brabham said, he took a rib out of him. We all know the story. He took a rib out of him, and he made a woman. And the woman he made, the man and the woman, Brabham said, he placed them in the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden then was the headquarter of the heart. That's what Brabham said. That was the headquarter of the heart. He placed them in the Garden of Eden. And he told them that of all the fruit of the tree you can eat, but of the fruit of good and evil, the day you eat the arrow, thou shalt surely die. Praise the Lord. But his enemy came in and did what? And deceived the woman. He beguiled the woman. That's the right language. And it she partook of the plant of the tree that they said they should not partake out of. That was how sin started. And Brabham said, it is, you might think, what has maybe some of us that are new, partaking out of a tree, of a fruit, what has it to God with? Is that sinful? But we know by the message that it is not just fruit that they partook of. It is an act that took place. The serpent had an affair with Eve. Praise the Lord. And that brought sin. Then they knew that they were naked. And Brabham taught us that. The Bible said it. They took fig leaves. They sewed fig leaves and covered their nakedness. Praise the Lord. I don't want to jump too much. Okay. In paragraph 63 to 67, let's read paragraph 60 to 62. Paragraph 60 to 62. Paragraph said, now when this man, when he put him in his senses, his five senses, and then man, he was lonesome, and he made him a wife, a helpmate, taking from his side a rib and made a woman. A beautiful type there, all in type of God taking from the side of Christ, the bride. God opened up Adam's side, taking a rib, which a man has one less rib than a woman in the structure of the body. And now, God opened up the side of Christ at Calvary and taking out the bride. The church comes through the blood of who? Christ. Into the body of Christ. How we come in, and that's how we come in, and through no other way, no matter how church you belong to, how good a man you are, how good a woman you are, you must accept God's all-sufficient sacrifice, his provided way, or you are lost. That's right. That's the only way that you can come in, is through there. Now, there is only one way, and that is the door. Praise the Lord. The Brabra talked about this, the very sermon that we had this morning about the man that was found in the West wedding supper without the garment. Okay, let's leave that. Then let's come to paragraph 68. And now you see this picture in magazines sometimes of some artists. Now that's very poor inspiration. They always have poor inspiration. If you see the heave with hairs sticking out like that, and oh, what a horrible looking thing, and say that was our mother. Why? There wouldn't be no one in the world will admire that. I believe Eve was the most beautiful woman that was ever on the earth. That's right. When Adam looked at her, it goes to show that strain comes right on down two human beings today. If it didn't, it would be vice versa. So Adam taking Eve and his wife, and then when sin come in, and I have my idea of what it was. I don't express it out in the church, lest it just having a little class of some sort of what the sin was in the beginning. But anyhow, when it did, it separated them from fellowship with God. Now here is the picture I want to get. Now when God realized, or some angel or some being has come up and told God that your sin is lost, your son is lost, he sinned, he has fallen. Brabra said in the book of the Seven Church Ages, did God send one like unto us? He did send another person. He came by himself. Praise the Lord. It took God to come by himself when the news get to glory that his son has sinned. And he came and was asking for Adam. Adam, where are thou? He said, I heard thy voice, but I'm afraid because I was naked. Yes, sir. Who told you that you are naked? Have you done the thing I said you should not do? Then the story started. It was the woman that you gave him this and that. Now, Abraham said, when they put on their fig leaf, Abraham said the fig leaf was what? It was the covering. It was a religion. They know themselves that their fig leaf religion can, with their fig leaf religion rather, they cannot come before God. It was a religion, a covering. But they know themselves that they cannot come before God. And when now they had to meet God, they were hiding. Because no religion cannot take us anywhere. Praise the Lord. Am I right? Because the way you are looking at me. Religion cannot take us, that's the truth. Religion cannot take us anywhere. There's no doubt about that. I'm a good person. I did this, I did that. Fine, that is good. But without Christ, you are lost. I don't care who you are. Let's continue. Paragraph 75. Now when they sing, he made it a word religious me covering. It's like something covers. This coat, a moral religion to me, because it covers my being. And your cloth is the same way, a covering. Now notice then, when Adam, his fig leaf were upright as long as he didn't have to face God. But when he had to face God, he realized his fig leaf was no good. And now, friends, You might think you are pretty good. Pretty good person. See? And you might be. That's right. But when you come to face God, if you haven't accepted God's provided sacrifice for you, you are lost. And you will know it. Praise the Lord. Rabbi said, "I stood by their side, watch them die, see the daughter shoot people in their hands to keep them quiet, and hear them scream and carry on. Say, oh, you are just beside. Say, oh, they are just beside themselves. I said, dog, please keep it out just a minute longer, see? And you can hear them when they think they are right. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the will of death. And every man that is unregenerated of God, we go that way of destruction. You can't help it. Your own soul guides you." Praise the Lord. If you are born again, you are bound to go up. If you are not born again, you've got to go down. Your own soul will guide it. It's just like a magic wand. Our soul is the one that will guide us where we go when death comes. There's no doubt about that. I don't care how religious the person is. If that soul is not born again, it must go down. But if it's born again, it will go up. Of course, Barbara also taught us that when a man is dying, two angels come there. The white angel and the red angel. The white angel, if he has lived for Christ, takes him up. The red angel, the red angel doesn't have mercy. The red angel will bind them and drag them down to the pit of hell. That's what happens. So it's not a matter of religiosity. It's a matter of Christ's life. Let's continue. And when, Proverbs 81, I see here then, when they come out, and God knew that they could not stand before him, and he knew, and they were hiding back in some bushes, yet covered up, but they know their covering wasn't sufficient. And every man or woman that goes to church today, I was thinking of the cathedrals, a ringing out, and the bells are tolling, and so forth like that, and people going to the church and making ready, and the women buying their Easter hats and so forth. What has this got to man? How I can't understand what a rabbit. Let's leave that a little. 83. Now watch, Adam and Eve, oh my. When I think of that, I lose the thought of my influence. I'm an influencer. Ever what I had, when I think. Way back in the beginning, watch. You talk about blood. Here not long ago. Okay, let's do that. 85. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Blood. God only substitutionary there is in only the life lays in the blood. You may eat the meat thereof, but the blood thereof, which is the life thereof, pour it upon the ground. See, not eat the life. Notice how beautiful. How I think of that. Then God thought, now come out here, Adam and Eve. How I can bring you out. I'm going to have to do something. Mercy. Let me just relate this because of our time, because of where we are going. Now, Abraham said God had to kill an animal, a sheep, and take the skin of the animal, use them to throw it to Adam and Eve, so them to wrap themselves before they will come to him, to his presence. And that was the way Old Testament continues. That the shedding of animal blood will make it just a substitutionary way for man to approach unto God. Pending the time the perfect sacrifice will come. Now, when that happened, God made a way for them to approach unto him temporarily with the blood, because the Bible said without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission for sin. Then God did something. God, because of this you have done, God gave them the judgment, all the judgment that we know about. Then God told them, you can no longer continue to stay in this garden. You have to get out of the garden. Because of what? Sin. And ever since then, man has been wandering about, wandering around, wandering everywhere, thinking and looking of how to go back to that perfect place. But it was not possible. Why? Because God, the Bible says, God placed the cherubim at the gate of the Eden. At the gate of Eden, God placed the cherubim and a flaming sword to prevent any man from going to the garden of Eden. Why? So that man will not partake of the tree of life and live forever. Praise the Lord. So no man has been able to find the way back to that garden of Eden, because there is a cherubim and a flaming sword that is preventing every man from getting there. Praise the Lord. And man has been wandering ever since then, looking, seeking a city that his builder is God. But Abraham said, but on the day at Calvary, praise the Lord, on the day at Calvary, Brother Brown said, the sin question was what? Settled. The backbone of Satan was broken. And God settled, made a way for us to approach unto him the perfect way. Now listen, brethren. Many of us know this. When that happened at the day at Calvary, remember, we don't have the time, we'll have gone to read it. The Bible says that the veil of the temple was what? Was rent from the top to the bottom. There was an earthquake. The heart was full of darkness for some hours. Earthquake happened, and the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Then God opened the way to the veil. Praise the Lord. Then, from that day onward, the cherubim that was preventing men from going to the Garden of Eden, they relocated. They changed their position. They are now driving men to the Garden of Eden to partake of the tree of life. Praise the Lord. The cherubim were preventing men from getting there before. Now the cherubim are now driving men to go and partake of the tree of life. But today, what do we see? People have excuses for not going to the Garden of Eden to partake of the tree of life. And Brother taught us, what is this tree of life? God bless you, sir. Jesus Christ is this tree of life, or Christ is the tree of life. Brother actually said Christ, I'm sorry. He said Christ is the tree of life. And that was why in the book of John chapter 6, Jesus Christ said, I am that bread of life, that bread that came from heaven, that if anyone partake of it, he will do what? Live forever. Praise the Lord. So, okay, let me read. Excuse me. Let me read it. I want to read from the sermon. There are so many places where Abraham said it, but I just want to read this one. The true and the false vine that he preached in 1963-03-11K. The true and the false vine. The true and the false vine. Paragraph 20. The true and the false vine. 5603-11K. Paragraph 20. A very beautiful type of today. When the church is hungry, God wants his children fed with the bread of life, not with some theory, but with the bread of life. Who or what is this bread of life? Okay, Jesus said, I am the bread of life that came from God out of heaven, said, your father ate manna in the wilderness. The Hebrew, John 6. They eat manna in the wilderness and they are heavy one dead. But I am the bread of life that come from God out of heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall never die. Or, in other words, I am the tree of life from the Garden of Eden. And if they eat of the tree of death, they die. If they eat of the tree of life, they live. The Holy Spirit guided the tree of life until the atonement was made. And now the Holy Spirit is running the people to the tree of life. Adam and Eve was trying to get to the tree of life. Now their children are trying to steal away from the tree of life. The Holy Spirit was guiding it. Now he is bringing them to it. And they refuse to hear the Holy Spirit's voice because the same adversary that caused them to sin in the beginning is keeping them away from the tree of life. And Jesus Christ is the tree of life. Praise the Lord. So God has opened the way for us to go back. Brother Brown said in that day on Calvary, let's listen. That day on Calvary, he said, Adam does not need to wander anymore. Paragraph 66. That day on Calvary. That day on Calvary. Of course, you. That is 60:9:25. Paragraph 66. Abraham. Abraham said, Abraham don't have to wander no more across the country seeking a city. The sinner don't have to wander anymore whether he can be saved or not. Okay? Whether I can be saved or not. The sick man doesn't have to wonder whether he can be healed or not. The opening day on that day at Calvary revealed the way to the total victory. God gives us the power of his Spirit to live triumphantly over all these things. Ask us only to believe it. That happens on that day at Calvary. There never was a day like it. There never will be one like it. It is not necessary no more. The price is paid and we are redeemed. Thanks be to God, we are redeemed. There is no more you have to wonder about. There is no more guessing about it. It's all taken away. The veil pulled back the curtain, and we are set on the highway, not to wander anymore, but to believe and just walk right on. We walk right into God's very presence. Praise the Lord. So there is no way to wander anymore. Calvary has opened the way for us to go back. There is no need for us to wander thinking about that place again because that kingdom of God is already in our hearts now. Praise the Lord. That day at Calvary. Friends, that time, our time is far running. But let's look at the thought before we continue. As we continue, okay. Now when sorry guys, I don't want to miss. All right. Okay. Now see. Paragraph 11. The question of sin. And I can see Eve and Adam with their arms around one another. Going, moving out like that. Them whole sheepskin flopping against their leg. Bloody, beating on their leg. Then I can see all the space, which was God. God had no beginning of days, ending of years. He is forever and forever. I can see all the great space begin to move together like this. moving down to a furnace shape like that. And it moved right down, and he began to hide that little couple going down through the Garden of Eden. Bloody skin flopping against their legs. He couldn't stand it. And it moved down. Oh, it moved it down to the very heart of God. Spelt L-O-V-E, love. God so loved. He just couldn't see them go. He called them back, said, I'm going to put enmity between you, between your seed and Satan's seed. Then when that was done, was at Calvary. When God himself came down through a woman born of a virgin, how I would like to deal there just a little bit in Eden. Notice, when they were driven from the garden, from the garden because of transgression, all the blessing cut off because of transgression. And I think tonight, that is what the matter with the church. All the blessing are being cut off because of transgression. There you have. Driven from the Garden of Eden. Now I want you to notice. Okay. Don't worry, we'll close. And I believe the great cherubim was at the east side of the gate, and that sword whirling back and forth, guarding the gates there that entered into Eden. Notice, fire and the Holy Spirit fire guided the gate. And today, that's what guides the gate. If you are scared of the Holy Ghost and fire, you will never get in. Fearing the sword of God. God is a consuming fire. What that tree, guiding that tree of life. And now notice, then this is a beautiful picture. Oh my. Cain and Abel rather toiling now and going out to make a sacrifice. I believe they built their altar right at the gate, at the throne, where they would worship. Notice, here comes Cain. He probably worked all years, toiling and doing everything he could to get the very biggest apple or the very biggest pumpkin or whatever he had, brought it up to the gate, built him an altar right there by the side of the gate in the presence of God, put all of his fruit and the big calla lilies and everything and lay them on the altar correctly. Then knelt down and worship God. I hope this just so way down as it never before till you get it. See, now notice, if God only required you to go to church, Cain was just as Abel was. Cain built an altar unto the Lord. Yes, you say, well, Brother Abraham, I don't only do that, but I make a sacrifice. I pay the foreign mission. Them things are all right. Them is all right. But God requires more. Cain did that himself. He brought a sacrifice. He worshipped the Lord. He knelt down and offered praises unto the Lord and said, Lord, here am I. Here am I. I have brought you an offering. I have built an altar. Amen. In so many words, I am a member of a church. Did he hit the button? Look, I'm a member of a church. I believe in you. It will go to the bottom now. Let it soak 3 days. I'm a believer in God. I have built an altar. I have brought a sacrifice. And here am I, Lord. I am worshiping you. And God turned his back on it. Right. And Easter morning, like a pastor. Okay, let's jump that. Everybody comes on a Easter with a bonnet. Okay. Let's jump that. There is something I want to get at.
have skipped it. Yes, paragraph 88. Let's go to paragraph 88. I want us to get that. It was kept in the morning. I wish we should listen to it.
Brother 86. Now notice 86. Notice how beautiful. How I think of that. Then God thought, now come out here, Adam and Eve. And before I could bring you out, I'm going to have to do something. So he goes over there on the hillside and get his sheep and kill him. Pull the skin off of him. Let him die. Because God has to keep his word. No matter how good a man you have, how good a woman you have, what you have is God. God has got to keep his word. That's the reason the Virgin Mary had to go up at the day of Pentecost and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like the rest of them did, because she was born here as a mortal and had to be born again before she could go to heaven. Amen. Now look, lady, let me tell you, just because the time has changed, God hasn't changed. He comes, you come anything short of that, you are lost. See, now I'm only speaking in behalf of what God did 1900 years ago today on Calvary, to show you what a sacrifice that had to be made to pay this and that God's way. Now, there is a way that seems right, but God has a provided way. If you will always go in God's provided way, you will never go wrong. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Brother was talking about the attitude of people at Easter, how they go to church on Easter day with flowers. Baba like to refer to that, and I love to refer to it so soon. They go to the altar with flowers, thinking that they are doing God a service. Go to the altar and place flower. The altar is not a grave yard where the people place altar. Praise the Lord. It is grave that people go with wreaths of flower and put flower there. So in memory of their loved ones, Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive forevermore. So God don't need our flower at the altar. Brother said, we are the one that God needs at the altar. Praise the Lord. We are the one that God needs at the altar, not flower. It is not our sacrifice so much that he wants. It is you and I that he needs. Praise the Lord. I wish to emphasize that very well. You and I are the one that God wants. You and I are the one that God needs. It is our soul is requesting for. Of course, if it takes our soul, it takes everything about us. But first thing is what? Our soul. Not so much of our money. If God had to spend money, the whole money of the world is in his hands. But he wants us at the altar. He needs us to surrender our lives unto him. Now, let's come back to Calvary. I'm closing my book. Like I said at the beginning, look at the sacrifice he made for you to be happy. Look at the sacrifice he made for me to be happy. Look at what he suffered so that we can have joy. Look at what he suffered so that we can have peace. Look at what he suffered so that we can have all these good things, the redemptive blessing that we are enjoying today. Look at all that he had to go through so that we can have those things. Then he's requesting for our soul. Are we going to deprive him of that? Don't forget he created you. Don't forget he created me. I don't know what would be too big for us to surrender unto God. He's asking for your soul, to surrender your soul unto him. Yet, we want to have our way. When the cherubims are driving us away to the tree of life, what are we doing? We are finding excuses like you have said to this morning. Because of this, I want to marry. I want to finish my education. I want to have my BSc. I want to have my master's. I want to have my PhD. All those things are good. I was telling the children, who tells you that this world will continue till you have your PhD? Who tells you that? Who tells you that you will get married before this world will grow up? Who tells you that? Who tells you that you will grow up to drive Cadillac before this world will round up? Who tells you that? What about what if tomorrow the OT come to an end? What will you say before your maker? I was telling the children as we try to close. Whether we like it or not, all of us will stand before this our Creator one day. But there are two different standing. Do you know that? Some will stand before him to be judged. And some will stand with him in judgment to judge the world. But it depends on what side you belong. All of us will stand before him, whether we like it or not. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you achieve in this life. You can be the president of the whole world, not only the president of Nigeria. Be the president of the whole world. One day, you will stand before him. And he will ask you why. What have you done with all the preachers? What have you done with the sacrifice he made for you? If we had to take God to come down from heaven to suffer all these things for your sake and my sake, what are we going to tell him when we stand before him? When he's asking you to give up this, give up that, and you think that is too much than the sacrifice that he made to come and die for you on the cross at Calvary, what will you tell him? What will I tell him? If God asked me to give up anything for his name's sake, and I think that is too precious to me than him dying for me, let's think about it. What is greater than life? Can somebody tell me what is greater than life? Nothing is greater than life. God offers us life, but we are finding excuses. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to achieve this. Let me get married, then I will give my life to God. Who tells you you will grow old to marry before this world ends? Who tells you that? The whole world can come to an end in few days. There's no scripture that says that this world cannot come to an end in a few days. Then when we stand before him, what are we going to say? Let's think about these things as we bow down our heads. Let's think about the penalty that it caused God to die for us on the cross at Calvary. Let's think about these things. And what he is asking of you to give up. Why do you think that is too precious to you than your Lord? Why do you think that is too precious to you than your Maker? Who is asking you to give up what you have to give up? Why will you think so? He's asking for your soul. He's asking for your life. To give your life unto him. But how do you see what he did for you compared to what he's asking for? It's on our laps again this evening. Let's think about these things. Let's think about the great sacrifice he did for us. Religion will not take us anywhere. No way. God will not be at fault for any one of us. God forbid that any one of us at the end of the day will find himself to be judged before God. Like we had in the morning. God forbid that we have to face the angry God. Now he's at the mercy seat pleading. He's at the mercy seat making intercession for us. But one day he's going to leave that intercessorial seat. And that seat will be smoking. Then, now we can treat him the way we like. You can deny him now, but that day, you have to stand before him and give an account of the way you live your life. It is before us once again this evening. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? People that want to be remembered in prayer this evening, why don't you raise up your hand to God so that His servants will commit all of us to the hand of the Lord. God bless you, sir.
Gracious Eternal Father, we want to thank you again for this great opportunity to listen to your word, the cruelty of sin, and what it took God to raise sins from our life. But your prophet said that there's no mortal that can die the death that Jesus died, when water and blood had to separate from his body. Because he died of grief, because he was rejected. Lord, we can see him from your prophets that you have sent of old, how they felt that grief when they felt that the people they are leading are not responding to what they are hearing. We saw it in Moses. We saw it in other prophets, even including our own prophets. Until at a point he said, if they do not listen, then he will just leave them. Oh God of mercy, we know dear Father that you are long-suffering and you are patient to wait for the last member of the elect to come in. And there's no mortal also that can be as patient as you, waiting for everyone that you have their names on the record to come in. We are grateful unto you. The privilege you are giving to us, may we not misuse it, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, having paid such price for our sins, for our unbelief, for our misbehavior, Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us to take your word serious, to humble ourselves, to accept when we are wrong, when we are corrected also, help us to yield to your correction. We pray, Master God, that you help us to put in all that is in us to your service, because we don't have much time left for us here on this earth. Thank you, dear Father. Your children that lifted up their hands, no doubt there's request behind the hands, whether for a rededication, consecration, want to renew their pledge with you to serve you better, having seen the vision clearer again of what it took you to take them from the dungeon to where they are now. We thank you. And if there be anyone that is surrendering himself unto you afresh, we pray that you will receive such, Heavenly Father. All of us together, be gracious unto us. Walk upon us. Don't leave any of us behind. Lord, we have come to know our assembly and fellowship with each other. And we do not desire that the fellowship will end here on earth. It's our desire and prayer that as we fellowship together here, we also fellowship together at your feet. But this is left to your own choosing and election, and our attitude to your provided sacrifice. Help us, Heavenly Father. The blessings we have received today, may the evil bird not succeed to pick any of them out of our hearts, but may your spirit water them, dear Father. May they grow and bring forth fruit of righteousness. Thank you, dear Father. Bless your servant again. You have used this afternoon to keep him. May you recall him a little the honor of his ministry. Thank you for bringing your servant that went to Bagatari back. We thank you, O God, for making use of him not that there to bless your people. And everyone you have used today, both here and other places, to bring blessings to your children, whether in prayer, whether one way or the other, that they have served you, which you know the details of each one's sacrifice unto you. May you bless your people, dear Father. And when you come to reward your people, may none of us be found wanting. Thank you, gracious Lord. This new week that you have started with us with these great blessings, may be a special week unto us. May the week be full of your glory in our lives. May your blessings follow us, dear Master. Guide us in all things, Lord. Bless the students. Bless the workers. Prosper the business people. Rebuild the brass for our sake. All that were going out and coming in. May your protection be mighty upon us. Keep sicknesses and affliction away from us. Keep us healthy and strong, dear Father, for your glory and for your service. Thank you, Father. As we dismiss to go back to our homes where we come from, you brought us in the morning. May you take us back home safely. Thank you, Father. Every trap of the enemy Remove them out of our way, dear Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. Bless the service of this new week. May they draw us closer to you. May your name be glorified. And people who have traveled, may you watch over them. And be with them while you watch over us here also. That when we will meet, it will be with joy and happiness. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. For hearing and granting our petitions, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I want to believe that we are all happy to be in church today, because he has been gracious unto us. He has blessed us out of his word. God bless you richly. Next physical gathering by God's grace will be Wednesday, meet with prayer meeting. If he has not come by that time, we expect you to be here if you are in the city. And those who are out of the city, may the Lord be with you. Shall rise.
He paid that debt. He did not owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Oh, and now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, he paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus owed all my sins. Yeah.